I'd like to introduce you to a new word that explains what I was just doing then. It's called fubbing. That's phone snubbing. Using my device in public and ignoring the people around me. Or I could have said that it was technoference, the interference of technology in our daily lives and the interruptions and intrusions that has. Or I could have said that I was an honorary member of Di Tao Zhao, which in China means the bowed-headed tribe. Or maybe as I walked onto the stage, shuffling away, my eyes glued to my device, you might have called me a smombi. That's a smartphone zombie. Now, all these new words have come into our language in the last 10 years, and that's directly correlated to the launch and the phenomenal growth and adoption of the smartphone. Today, there's over 2.5 billion people in the world with a smartphone, and that's predicted to rise to 5 billion by 2020. And what we've done is we've effectively created 2.5 billion new homes. Because we live and we laugh and we love and we cry and we work in the reflected glare of this 5-inch screen. It is our virtual home. But all these words like smombi and fubbing, I mean, they're not very positive about our virtual homes. In fact, they're rather negative. At best, they're talking about them being antisocial. At worst, they're saying, realistically, you're dehumanized. You're a zombie. Now, I'm not the person to stand up here today and damn the smartphone. I'm, in fact, one of its biggest advocates. I think it's an amazing, empowering, enriching device. For the last 20 years of my life, I've worked in digital media. And the last 10 years, I've worked with smartphones, creating products and services for them. I've always tried to use technology to make people's lives better, to improve them, to make them simpler, to make them easier. But I'm worried. I'm worried because when I look around at how people are using their smartphones, and that's not just people on the train or strangers in the street, that's my colleagues and my friends and my family and my teenagers. We seem to be spending an increasing amount of time looking down, glued and obsessed with this virtual home. Let's see how you feel. Hands up if you think that you spend too much time with your smartphone. Wow. Look around, Leamington. No, keep them up, keep them up, keep them up. That's amazing. So that's way, way higher than the national average. On average in the UK, 39% of people say that they spend way too much time with their smartphone. And that rises to 55% of people who are 16 to 35. So the younger you are, the more likely you are to think that you are spending too much time with your smartphone. And if you are one of those people, you're actually trying to change that because 74% of people who think they spend too much time on their smartphone are trying to reduce that time. And time is a really finite commodity. We cannot make any more of it. It might surprise you that on average, you spend 2 hours, 25 minutes a day on your smartphone. And if you're considered to be a heavy user, you will double that to 3 hours, 45 minutes. And the time that we spend in our virtual homes is at the expense of interaction in our real homes, in the real world. I'll give you some examples. A third of us use our smartphones with our friends and our family whilst eating. 50% of us wander along the streets looking down at our smartphone. 11% of us say that we actually cross the road with our smartphone looking down at it. A third of us will wake up and within 5 minutes reach for our smartphone. And in one study, Amazingly, 1 in 10 of us said that we responded to our smartphone whilst having sex. It's amazing, isn't it? At best, this is alienating. At worst, this is antisocial behavior. Now, I don't want to blame the device. It's not the smartphone's problem. The problem comes down to our behavior with the smartphone, and that is a good thing, because we can choose to change our behavior. We can choose to act differently. We can choose to stop looking down and start looking up. So in preparation for this, I did a lot of reading. I talked to a lot of experts, psychologists, anthropologists, scientists, to try and find out what are the things that we can do to start to actively change our behavior with our virtual homes. And 5 insights came out across the board, a consensus opinion. And I want to share those with you today in order to be able to assess how we might begin to start looking up again. So the first insight is about usage. If you know how you use your smartphone and what you use your smartphone for, you can begin to understand whether that you're using it for the right types of things. There are apps that you can download, such as Moment or Quality Time from the app stores, and they will actually track your smartphone usage and replay that back to you. Let me tell you, it is a sobering wake-up call, and I decided to go on a significant smartphone diet when I use one of these apps. And the reason was I found that I was spending 5 hours a week playing Candy Crush. What I thought was just a couple of minutes here on the commute or a couple of minutes when I was bored, it's half a working day spent playing a game. So if you can understand the amount of time that you spend, then you can begin to assess whether that time is valuable to be spent in our virtual homes versus our real homes. The second area is about living in the present and making a conscious decision that when we're with people, with our friends, with our colleagues, to live in the present and ask them to, we put our smartphones away, we turn them off, we put them into our pocket or into our bag. And that's really important because the very presence of a smartphone actually can reduce our cognitive mental ability. It just sitting there on a table, never mind us actually interacting with it, it can make us dumber. So with your smartphone put away, with it turned off, you have the ability to be able to pay people attention. You have the ability to be able to talk to them. You can live in the present with that person. And that's really important for the third insight, is that you can ask other people to do exactly the same. When you meet someone and they've got their smartphone out, just say, "Look, fantastic, I can't wait to have this conversation, but do you mind putting your smartphone away? Because I don't want there to be any distractions when I'm talking to you." And your behavior can become infectious. And you can help change how other people feel about their smartphones. The fourth insight that came up was one which is around not sleeping with your smartphone. Now, I'm not talking about the 1 in 10 of you who might respond to your smartphone during sex, although I really do think, please do stop that. What I mean is that when our virtual home is by our bedside, it's the first thing we look at in the morning, and it's the last thing that we look at night. And shockingly, 1 in 3 of us wake up during the night and check our smartphone if it's there in our bedroom. So that is going to deprive us of sleep. And depriving us of sleep affects our mental and our physical well-being. So take the smartphone out of the bedroom. Buy an alarm clock if you need a wake-up call. Even better, give yourself a curfew with your smartphone and stop using it a certain amount of hours before bedtime. Give yourself some screen-free time, some decompression time, some time in the real world. And the fifth insight is about this Pavlov's dog type of reaction that we have when we see a notification ping onto our phone. Oh, bing, ding, 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 fantastic. Notifications, scientifically, have been shown to increase our inattention and our hyperactivity. In fact, it's all to do with FOMO, our fear of missing out. We must have things right now, know something right now, when in fact it's probably just a like or a retweet or something quite insignificant coming up as a notification. So the best thing you can do here is to turn your notifications off. Yeah, put your phone on airplane mode. I now say I'm not going to check my smartphone for an hour. I'm going to leave it over there. I'm not going to look at it. And in doing so, I will feel better because of it, because I'm not constantly being distracted and interrupted in my life. So it's these five things which help us to learn to look up again. And if you can change your behavior to do these things, I can promise you that you will be more centered, more social, and more enriched, and more harmonious with your virtual world, your virtual home, and your real home. So if you think that you spend too much time on your smartphone, here's the guide to be able to change it. You can make a positive choice to not look down, and you can choose to look up today. Thank you very much.